Blog Talk Radio.
We're here again, and we have Melissa, Jimmy, Scotty. My name's Larry. Carry on, fellas.
Oh, hi, Larry. How are you?
Groovy.
I'm trying to confirm on a loadout. All I can say is I'm trying to confirm a rumor, and if I find it, I'll let everybody else know about it. I've not had luck trying to confirm that. So, but it came from a very reliable source. So, you know, I had a friend on Facebook. She approved some of my posts on her site, and I need to figure out. We need to talk about the stuff with the temporaries. I'm sure Melissa's got some stuff going on at Fort Wayne. I saw they had some stuff going on down there that was that looked like it was on the up and up. But I'll let her talk about that.
Okay. Yeah,
Hang on just for a second. I got an email bitching about a short show last week. The person got in at 7:42. And we got off at 8:30. Let me tell you something, you stupid motherfucker. I start at 7. You want to hear the whole show? Get your fucking ass in here at 7 because I set the time with Scott and Jimmy, whoever. We're on for an hour tonight. So if you come in at 7:42, your dumbass is out of luck. And that's how it is.
No.
I don't give a fuck.
I
got to
edit that. Beep, 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 beep. Okay.
Hey, get it. They get an 18-minute show. Or they will get an 18-minute show.
Tonight, if they come in at 7:42.
Yeah.
Sorry, fucker.
If you need a calculator, we'll start a PayPal thing or whatever you call that shit. Pay forward. In case you don't know your minutes. But yeah, this is crazy. I mean, I don't care what they say. But yeah, I heard that also, Scott. Like I said, when I was over there, I'm trying to find out how a fat motherfucker like me could keep falling through these cracks because they're saying I didn't make application in time for.
Jimmy,
really?
Jimmy, what happened?
I guess because I was on workers' comp, they were supposed to notify me, so nobody notified me in a timely manner. So that makes me guilty? I don't think so.
Right.
So anyway, while I'm over there, I hear some of them, and I'm going to say this wrong. Is it Aeronaut? Is that who does the janitorial part?
Aramark.
Aramark.
A-R-A-M-R-K. Aramark.
Those some of those people in my shit house in 659 were sitting there screaming because they got made whole right before Christmas. But they didn't tell them by getting made whole, they gave up their health care. So I was trying to confirm that, but there must be a lot of rusty nails around there because when I went back, nobody knew nothing. Lockjaw.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so I was wondering if that was what they gave up. You remember how they had to wait the year and they moved them forward? Well, they moved them forward with that loophole, but like they said they weren't informed of this loophole. I was trying to confirm that, but I couldn't get anybody with any authority to yay or nay it.
Hey, let me get Adrian on, and I don't know if that's JJ or Brian. Brian, I think, and 260, you're also on. Go ahead, guys.
Evening.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey, I'm just here listening right now, so.
Evening, family.
Good evening.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
Y'all all right?
Hello,
Will. I'm sorry, in. I'll just be listening mostly tonight. I'm not hitting on all the cylinders.
I'm sure I can speak for all of us. We are we send our condolences for the death of your sister, and we pray for some peace for the family and for you, and all the strength you're gonna need to get through the next few days.
Thank you so very much. So very much. I think I'd have come down with a virus, too, though. So, yeah, well, you know. that's what happens. So you just try
right.
to do what you got to do. I'm sitting up here sipping on some ginger tea, trying to keep it together here.
There you go.
And it's that time of the year. You know, the weather is funky. This is the funkiest weather. One day it's raining, the next day it's icy. Boy.
5 weeks. 5 weeks, folks, till spring training. That's all I got to say. 5 weeks. How you doing, Dark Samurai?
Yeah, hey, Dark. Yeah. I had a friend of mine that I was like I was talking about earlier. She had brought back a post from a year ago, over a year ago, actually. She's over at Labor History. It's a private group, and they have to approve whatever is being posted. And she does listen to the show. She likes the show. She thinks we're doing a good thing by just educating members and reaching out to everybody within the unions, especially anybody who's belonging to the UAW right now. And what she brought up was, you remember a couple years ago when they waited till about the last hour of the shift to let a bunch of temps go and people go on, like, you know, the last hour? Anyway, she'd come back and she talked to me about Tier 2, and I had talked about the Tier 3, 4, and 5. And she said that she left the state of Michigan for now, and she hadn't keeping up on anything, and she couldn't get that Ford Woodhaven temp worker out of her mind about things. So anyway, what I got going was she would appreciate if we talked about this for a minute, because I think there's some things that she brought a real good point up to us. You know, we're trying to figure out what the percentage of the temps are now in the workforce. I know that's changed, and when they asked Melissa to explain what happened at Fort Wayne, we had roughly 400 people converted to full-time, you know, permanent workers at our local. And I know in the last couple of weeks they had at least 100 or 150 made permanent at Lansing Delta. But what this person was explaining to me was she's asking is, somebody brought up Donnie Douglas and Whipsawing Locals. And then she wanted to talk about the GM Subsystem LLC. And the question what she had was, is this not the new temporary service? General Motors' own temporary service. And she had a good question. And to us, it would appear as though that's about what it is, isn't it?
Exactly what it is.
What's your thoughts? Bring it on, because I want to hear about this, because they're going to save money because they don't have to pay the temp agencies. They become theirs, their own temp
whoever's
agencies.
Scott. Whoever's making noise, please stop. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, I hear you, Scott. I don't know about that, but back in the day, if you think about it, General Motors, we were the biggest animal because we owned AC, we owned all our subsidiaries, and how we had trains and everything else. Well, the cost of labor got so high, follow me here, GM, to bear that burden and the pension thing, they peddled them off. Well, they got bought up overseas and whatever. Now that labor price has fallen down so low, General Motors is sitting here licking their chops saying, man, I can grab that, bring it back, but it's not really back in-house where I got to do it. Well, the union had to buy into that too, so they did that bullshit. Like I said, the union talked about this and many people. One, how can they let a temp vote when they don't let the retiree vote, because we both have vested interest in our national contracts? But all they did was reach out, like you said, and form their own temp group. And in some cases, they're temps forever. Take it back.
I found out in our local that there were some people who purposely turned down being moved to permanent work status for whatever reason. So that's happened. I'm just saying, this individual made a very good point that it appears that with this General Motors Subsystems LLC, that they have a partner with them. And that partner is called the UAW. It's not us, the UAW, as members as a whole, the members. We are the union. But it appears to be the union leadership who agrees with them on these contracts. And I'm telling you, for the life of me, I can't argue that she's wrong. That just, I don't know. I told her I'm going to bring it up, and I think she's got a valid point. You know, Brian's been talking about temp services for quite some time. We've been talking about it, but I think this, you know, we need to look at this a little bit differently.
Brian got to see things a little different because over Chrysler was so much more corrupt with General Holyfield and his thing. Brian saw shit we didn't. He saw shit 3 years before us, and he's got no crystal ball, but he's no dummy. He can read the writing on the wall just like you and everybody else at Ford. We all see what's going on. That's why we stay together. All of us as one is the only way we're going to take them down. Because they're going to do certain things at Ford, they ain't going to fucking try it, GM. They're going to do certain things at Chrysler, they ain't going to try it, Ford or GM. But they're going to do shit at GM, like I said, and they're going to find out what little niche works here and there, and then they're going to go after it. And that's how they're beating us and then getting us to fight with all these damn tiers of pay and discrimination, as I call them. There should be no tiers. You know that as well as I do. They're making enough money. I'm sorry. If it's out about that, then we need to job out Miss Mary Barra. She makes the most motherfucking money. Let's contract her shit out.
Right. Well, it's something, man. I'm telling you. I'm just telling you that the amount and how it appears. Not to be wrong, if somebody knows something different, educate me on this. But it appears as though what they'll do is, and I have to walk through this process, and I'll explain as I go. If you are a facility, and you are a large facility, let's say we'll use Foot Assembly for example. This is all opinion, folks. This is just an example. If I have a larger facility, say at Riff Flint, and I have part of my building, I either add on or I take part of my building. I'm sure there's some kind of a lease agreement for that part of the building. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take General Motors management over, because it still is General Motors, you know, it's Sub-Assembly Holdings, LLC. I'm going to have General Motors management manage it because of that way they know how to run the business the way I want it to be ran. And then what I do is I bring in employees in. They're not General Motors employees. That way General Motors doesn't have to deal with them as employees. You know what I'm saying? They're not like the core workers. They're like the non-core workers, kind of. These guys are going to be doing sub-assembly. They work for General Motors, but they don't work for General Motors, the corporation. They work for a sub-assembly, sub-holding group. And what happens is now General Motors, all they got to do is tell their management what they want out of them people and how to tighten down on them, and they have no choice to do it, and they have to start. Well, in a lot of these places where the sub-assembly is coming, the supplier from the outside is coming into the building. Now, I may not confirm this 100% yet, but this is the rumor that I've heard, and I'm sure it's just a rumor, and I'm going to put it out there, and I hope it's wrong. But I'm hearing that the people over at the LSI or Link, as some people would like to refer to them, they'll be closing down here soon, and they'll be moving into this General Motors facility system. Now, what happens is you have a lot of people over there, they have over 20 years. They have like 4 weeks vacation, they got dental, they got obstacle. They have health care, and you know, and what happens is they get forced over because that's where their work is going. And when they get over there, they have to start all over with day one seniority. They have no corporate time. They just have to start all over. So some of these people are going to have to take a big pay cut, a really big pay cut. Some of them, half.
That's not right.
I agree, sister. And I'm telling you, because we're gonna, if that happens, say, at our facility, we'll be an amalgamated union. And how can we treat our own people that way, I guess is my question. I mean, me and Don, we talked to people over to the GM CH on Miller and Dye Road. And it was terrible how they were treated. Now we're going to be doing that inside of our own building. Isn't that something? So, I mean, these people, I mean, we've seen the contract. We know how these people get held. The CCAs and the GMCHs, I think GMCH does better than the CCA, but, you know, some of these people, they top out at $19 an hour after, what, 8 years? This is ridiculous. This is where we're going forward. This, I think, needs to be addressed. I'm hearing that it was, and that was the best they could do. But in this, for instance, you're going to love this. Cindy Estrada is the one who said, this is how it's going to be at our facility.
Wow.
And now she's moved on over to Brian's world. So be interested to see how that plays out.
You guys have forgotten something. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, what that lady said is absolutely true. I mean, you guys remember when they decided to outsource corporate security and housekeeping, the UAW agreed to that. They unionized a contract behind our back. That was the start of it. So believe me when I say the UAW, the leadership is intertwined with management. When they sat there and owned GM Chrysler stock, they sat on the company boards. They agreed to these concessions and the job losses and agreed to cheaper labor. They pushed the temp and the tier system. They pushed outsourcing certain jobs, materials, whatever. And then they took contract houses and they unionized them. How do you unionize an at-will company? And I'm still trying to figure that out. But the membership,
right.
You know, we continue to ratify these agreements, knowing that it hasn't done nothing to provide equality throughout the membership. It's a divisive contract. We still have the temps. We still have the tier system. Retirees haven't gotten nothing. We haven't gained anything that we've lost. But the membership keeps going along with it. And then when you start looking at the corruption and the collusion and the nepotism, and still, here the membership, you know, you got a handful of people that are pushing Articles 8, 30, and 31, but the majority of them are sitting back waiting for the feds to do it.
I agree.
I mean, if the membership's going to be helpless, what do you expect is going to happen? The leadership's going to continue down this path, and they're going to lead us out of a job.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about this, and we've been talking about this for a long time, Brian. And all of a sudden, I just had a thought today. Is, and we know that they try to keep people in the dark. A lot of people just don't know because they've been lied to and they haven't looked into it. They just don't have a clue. I mean, they really don't have a clue what's behind them.
Well, I'll say that I'll agree to that to some extent, but the fact is a lot of the local leadership does know what's going on. This show's been on for almost 16 years now. You guys have been educating the membership, and you guys have told them that you got language that hides behind a zipper clause. You got MOUs. I mean, if the people are just not going to take the time to educate themselves, I mean, the only ones they can blame is themselves for not knowing.
Well, yes and no, because a lot of these people that come in, these lower seniority people, they're very gullible, and they believe what they're told. Don has seen it firsthand. People coming into the plant, they get guided down by some elected official. They're handed a piece of paper. This is who you go vote for. The polls are open, and right there they are.
Exactly. It was right down by my job. I watched them march them right down there.
And people don't have a clue because they're new and they don't have an idea and what they're being told. It sounds really good. And they go down there and they vote the way they've been told to vote. And then some of them figure out that they got snookered. Some
okay.
of them figure,
but
if
you look at this past tentative agreement, how many of the SBUs and skilled trades voted for this contract? How many of the delegates continue to go down to the convention and support the same corrupt caucus over and over and over again? And these are top seniority people. These ain't temps or tiers. So,
right.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You're right.
Well, I had a discussion about that with some of the trades guys that are like my age, okay? They've got they're close to 30 or just over 30, but they're too young to retire. And they were disappointed that some of their coworkers would vote in favor of this contract. And what I was told was that it was some of these individuals, and Don knows who I'm talking about, some of these trades guys have been there before Don, and they were voting to get hopefully that they would hit that $60,000 SAP. That's why some of these trades guys voted in, because a lot of these trades guys, Brian, as well as you know, as well as I know, they have a lot of seniority, a lot of time.
Yep, I knew a lot of them.
Yes, they do. And my plan, it took 42 years to stay in Master Mechanics, and I mean, there was a bunch of them. Trust me, I was amazed. It took 38 years just to stay on trades itself, I think, over at FAB.
But what really messes me up is that the salary bargain union, which didn't get any raises, they got four lump sums, they even ratified that agreement.
Yeah.
That's
now the Airmark.
That's the one that made no sense at all, Brian. I agree with you there. They got absolutely shit.
So I'm just saying, all of this to me just boggles me to sit there and say that, because the reality, it's not just the younger generation. It's the older generation that opened the door for this. And in order to fix it, we got to pull those younger ones up. We got to educate each other. And we got to reform this leadership. And the only way to do that is through a special convention.
Brian, I agree with you 100%. You've been saying all along, especially on that video, you've always been right. You've always been spot on. And it matches my experience. I can remember when I tried to tell the younger people on how to what the real union is. They don't have any idea on what the real union is. And it was around, I want to say around the early 90s or late 80s when the UAW had stopped educating the new workers coming into the plant. This is the reason why these younger workers don't know what a real union is, because the UAW, the Solidarity House, has quit educating the union, the new union member what a real union is. So
well, my point, Peggy, my point, Peggy, my point is, it ain't just the younger generation. Even the top seniority people are forgotten what this union was designed for.
Well,
I mean,
yes,
when everybody started agreeing to ratify the 2007 agreement to go ahead and bring in a tier system And the purpose of the tier system was to take care of any non-core jobs. But that didn't happen. They ended up being placed on every single job within the facilities. And then the temps
came in.
And the temps were supposed to take care of non-core jobs. And then the temps started taking on every job in the facilities and jobs. Management was putting those temps on full-time jobs, keeping top seniority to be able to sign up for those particular jobs. So they were trying to circumvent top seniority seniority by putting temps on full-time jobs. And that's what they did to me, and I had a grievance filed, and I was able to go back to where I got bumped out of because I should have never gotten bumped. So unless the membership is going to force their leadership to do their job, the right grievances, any time that management is violating the contract, then if they're not going to do that, we're going to, you know, management's going to continue to abuse the membership. It's up to the membership to force our leadership to do their job. Bottom line.
Well, the other thing, Brian, is you've got a lot of seniority people that don't want to help educate the younger people and don't want to participate in what we're doing and trying to clean the Solidarity House up, even all the way down to the locals. All they care about is forget about it. I'm retiring in 6 years. Well, you know what? My thing is you have to leave it better than what it was when you left.
I agree. Absolutely
yes.
agree.
Also, yeah, you know, also, you're right, Brian. A lot of these older people, they forgot about, you know, what the real union is. And they turn around and act like, you know, just self-serving rather than help all the membership. And it's so sad, you know, to see, you know, most people, you know, they don't care about the other people. They are forgetting we're all in the same boat together, and they refuse to understand it. And, you know, and even these, you know, these garbage crap contracts they got, it's still going to affect the retirees and the older workers, no matter what anybody say. Also, don't forget about those poor people who had died on the picket line last fall. You know, they had died in Maine because we're still going in the wrong direction.
Right. I talked to some of the Aramark people, and I found out what their Division 1 and Division 2 is. Division 1 is like the janitors, custodians, I don't know what else you want to call them, cleanup people maybe. And then Division 2 was the skilled trades arm. At our local, our skilled trades at Aramark, the Division 2, they shot it down by 80%. But it passed by 80% in the Division 1, so they got overruled. They were outnumbered. And I found out that a lot of places that had Aramark, but that's what happened, was that the trades guys voted it down because they didn't get what the other people were getting. And what they did was they insensitized the contract for the Division 1 employees by giving them a 4% raise every year. You know, when you're only making $10 an hour, you know, 4%, another 20% raise, you know, over the 4 years, that's a lot of money. Or something like that, yeah. So that's what happened.
Don't forget the Division 1 also included the assembly line workers and the material handler too. That in the GM plan, you know, the way it worked is these Division 1 was your assembly line worker, your you know, your material job. You know, the Division 2 included all your skill trades.
Correct. And that's it's disheartening. But the big thing is this last week was we had some temporaries get brought up to what we call the in progression worker, tier two, permanent workers. But the big story is what happened at Fort Wayne. And if you could explain to us what happened at Fort Wayne, I would be glad to hear that.
Melissa. Well, all the employees that were flex temps, their last night was last night.
Wow. And what about the rest of the temps?
I think they're still in there. They didn't clarify on that.
Well,
but then
the rest
but
of the
then there were some employees.
What's that?
There were some employees that were not supposed to be moved. They were temps, and then they were moved to flex temps, and they weren't supposed to be moved. And now they're out of a job.
Oh.
Hey, Paul sent me a tape. He wants me to play this. It's about a minute and 32 seconds, so I'm going to play it real quick.
The ASARCO workers have been on strike for 90 days, and they tell us we're prepared to go another 90 or however long it takes to have fair working conditions.
What do we want?
A fair contract!
When do we want it?
Now!
Over 100 people joined the picket line near the entrance to ASARCO's mission mine in Sahuarita, including Manny Armenta, who's been on the line since day one.
We're saying no more to unfair working conditions, and people deserve a pay raise, and they deserve better benefits.
Armenta says ASARCO workers haven't had a wage increase in 10 years.
And they expect 62% of the workforce to go another 4 years without a wage increase. They want to double up on their health premiums and their deductibles. They want to freeze a pension plan. That's uncalled for.
ASARCO is a subsidiary of corporate giant Grupo Mexico. Congressman Raul Grijalva today bringing the issue to the national stage.
Part of the reason to be here and part of the reason to bring support from California and other parts of the country is to let these workers know you're not alone. You're going to have support. And we've got to win this strike.
Here's his message to Grupo Mexico and ASARCO.
It's not just about the bottom line. This company makes billions and billions of profits a year. It's a national issue. And the workers across this country are having their hard-earned benefits threatened. And the more we have a national focus on this strike, the better the chances of winning it are going to be. We're here for the duration, just like they are.
KEGA 9 has reached out to ASARCO while covering this ongoing strike. The company has yet to comment. Lucelia Caballero, KEGA 9, on your side.
Thank you, Paul. There you go. Thank you for sending.
I was going to bring it up. That is Teamsters Local 104 and 997 down there. And these people have been out, like I said, they're heading for 100 days. There's another group that's out on strike right now. And it is what it is. It's corporate greed, and it appears that the union is failing to represent its members. I mean, we can all relate with that. So, I don't know. It's bad. You got 83 days out.
As far as Lord Gamble settles and all that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Laying off.
If you're not. Me personally,
what's that?
I thought I'd screw you up by playing an O'Brien tape. What? Who's that?
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't think he is. I don't think he's guilty.
All right.
Putting it.
I'm okay. Go back to this show. I'm sorry.
All right. So, thanks. You also have the people at Langwath Metallurgical Company. They're on strike for 4 months. And it looks as though the company is going to, members of Local 1311, UAW Local 1311, and it looks as though they are going to replace them completely. And they're saying that there's nothing that they could do with that strike. So there's some brothers and sisters who have been out for quite a while, too, and there's some people that are getting real involved with that now too. So you got the group Mexico with the Teamsters. You got our own UAW Local 1311 having problems with this. It looks like a lockout, like the Accuride. That's what it reminds me of, with Billy Robinson and the Accuride. So that could be something. But Melissa, didn't your job chairman write a letter?
He's wrote a couple of letters since last night.
Right. He come out, and he's not real happy with what they're doing with the temps, right?
Oh, he's pissed.
Right. Because what has happened is after this strike, they chose not to adhere to the contractual language. They made an agreement with the people down in Detroit in Solidarity House, because I know they didn't do that at our locals. They had to done this down in Detroit, and they decided when they were going to embrace the language, the national contract, because of the strike, they decided to wait till after the first of the year at many locals. And what
right.
you have, and what you have now is, and I will read this to you. This came out. This was a couple days ago. I just found out that the deadline for adhering to the 32 hours max is Monday, January 12th, and they are not giving us an extension. I wish the notice could have been more. It's very harsh, and I never expected that answer. We will be going out with the full-time offers within the next 24 hours. Now, that was my shop chairman, and they went out, and like I said, they got about another 164, I think. I'm not completely sure. I had to find out. But anyway, we got more. But the whole idea of it is everybody's got the same question we got. And I've seen it on Local 2209's Facebook page. I've seen some other places. The same question is across the board. How do they plan to run the business when these people, these temps, max out at the 32 hours?
He said what we're going to be doing is it's going to be overs and unders.
Which costs you even more, right?
It costs even more. That's just silly. It really is.
Right. Well, what people don't understand, if you just listen to this show, what we're talking about with over and unders is what I do is I go to a seniority employee who's usually making the top wage or real close to that top wage. It might be a tier two, which they have seniority. No defined health care or pension, but they have seniority. And what they do is we have to ask, let's say the help is on second shift. So what I do is I ask first shift seniority employee for overtime, preferably going by the 71 sheet. I ask them to stay over for 4 hours and cover the first half of the second shift. And then what I've done is the day in advance, I've asked the third shift people and found somebody to come in 4 hours earlier to cover the second half of that shift. So now I've got over and under, over shift and under shift coverage to cover where I needed that overtime. But in the meantime, I've got to pay time and a half and possibly shift premiums to those people who are covering those overtime jobs, that overtime money. So instead of making, let's say, $30 an hour, you're making $45 an hour, plus maybe a 5 or 10% premium on top of that.
Yep.
Instead of working somebody 8 hours at $16 or $17 an hour. So it just doesn't make sense, does it?
It makes no sense whatsoever.
No, not at all.
I think there's something else going on behind this whole thing that we're not aware of. And I think we're
going to
find out. What's that?
Of course.
I think
we're going to go to 2 12-hour shifts, if you ask me.
You possibly could do that, or you could go to 4 10s.
That's what we worked last night. We worked a 12-hour shift last night.
Are you still under emergency status?
I don't know why, but yeah.
Okay. If you're still under emergency status, well, that gives 12 hours.
We're technically not under emergency status. Here's what happened is the shop chair negotiated something somehow that the final scheduled production shift of the week can work up to 12 hours. And I think the reason they did that was to keep us off of mandatory Sundays. Now,
right.
I'm here at work, but I'm volunteering. But I think that's why they did that, saying, hey, you know, second shift, the redheaded stepchild of the plant gets to do 12-hour shifts. Third shift comes in an hour early on Sunday night. And
right.
So that's what they have worked out. The problem is second shift has been working 9- and 10-hour shifts for months. Now they've upped it to 12. We don't get out less than 12 because they can. You know what I'm saying? So they're not gonna lose a dime a truck if they can get it. And
right.
We had two major breakdowns this week, and that's how they tried to justify it as working the 12 hours. But let's be honest. I mean, somebody could get a head cold. That's a major breakdown in management, you know. So that's the way that they've been playing this game around here lately. And we're going to end up seeing with all these temps that have been let go, 148, I want to say. They originally had requested 208 temps be hired. Somehow, International and GM whittled 56 people out of that. And they said, you
56?
Can't do it with this. Yeah, they cut out 56 people from that list. And that screwed a lot of people because that's what they had talked about in the contract. Well,
wow.
They converted some of the way they got around to screwing some of these kids, I say kids, but non-seniority, was they flipped them from full-time temp to flex. Well,
right.
Those flex all just got let go, like Melissa said. And so they're using people as pawns like they always do. And the plant manager, Richie had put out, or the shop chair had put out, hey, here's what's going on. Management won't even sit down at the table with us. And management only agreed to sit down for 1 or 2 days a week at the beginning of the contract anyhow, because they just don't see it as an important deal. Well, now we're getting into this time of year, and it's getting down to the nuts and bolts, and management's still not wanting to sit down with them. So Rich put out the stuff and said, hey, here's the games they're playing. And it was at, Melissa, what, half hour, 45 minutes later, the plant manager put out a letter and said, well, your union doesn't want to negotiate with us. Well, come on. You're an idiot. Our union is fighting to get people what they need in this place. And that is not 12-hour days. That is not 12-hour shift or 4-10s or whatever it is. It's 8 hours a day. And so the plant manager's trying to save face when that guy's nothing but a blooming knucklehead anyhow, because he puts out these lists, and it's baloney. It's baloney. So they're playing the games, and they're playing them pretty hard, you know. And so then after that, when a couple hours later, excuse me, the shop chair went ahead and put out another letter and said, okay, if he's going to play this card, here's what's going on. They're pulling this. They're doing that. So, I mean, there's a battle in the media as far as letters that go around here. And I truly believe, and I've got my problems with the way the shop chair does stuff, but I really, truly believe at this point he's fighting properly and hard for the people in this union. I can't say all that all the time, but during this right now, I'm believing in him, and I'm really thinking he's pulling for these people.
And the other thing, Scott,
they need.
And the other thing, Scott, they're laying off 800 people at Hamtramck, okay?
Right.
Oh yeah.
So corporate wants our shop chair to let them transfer to our plant. So our shop chair says, no, that's a bunch of BS. You're You're going to pay them $30,000 a piece to transfer to Fort Wayne when we've got people that are already trained and working here? Go fuck yourself.
Yep, that's what he's put out there. And the plant manager, again, it's like, you know, Adrian questioned or everybody questioned, why are we working overs and unders? Why not just hire these people to run this plant? Because quite honestly, there's going to be an FMLA storm hit this freaking place, and it's going to shut down.
What region are you guys now?
2B.
2D?
Yeah, Ohio, Indiana.
They're trying to overload the Midwest 2B. Right now. They're trying to overload the Midwest right now with, you know, with, what was it, 5 going down or out there?
Yeah, 5.
And they're going to cause a lot of issues out there like that, and they're going to try and move a lot of manpower. The more people they can move right now, Scott, the more they can hide people, and that's all this is about. Remember, people, nothing with these clowns is coincidence. Remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you know, I just want to throw this out there for you guys. As Melissa and I talk through the week, we really pull from your wisdom and experience because we recall the show or we recall conversations and we're just like, oh, no, remember they said this happened. You know, and right now, they're even jacking with people that are getting injured on the line. And they're saying, no, you didn't get injured here. They had one guy the other day. They said, well, he went up because he had an injury on his wrist. And they said, the medical guy says, well, don't you go bowling? Don't you bowl? Did you injure it when you're bowling? He goes, how do you know that I bowl?
I told you that story, silly.
Yeah, I know that. But I'm saying the TC called medical that the guy is bowling. So now you got these rat bitches out here on the line that are supposed to be your union brothers and sisters turning in on union brothers and sisters saying, hey, if you don't want to pay it, he goes bowling. So, you know, I don't know why these people are doing it. But they're turning tail on their own brothers and sisters, but I will also tell you I know one guy in the plant specifically who will stand and shout solidarity from the top of mountains and turn around and stab you right in the back. So
there's a lot of them people. Back in my day, if somebody did that shit, you met them in the parking lot, you whipped their fucking ass, and the next day nobody said nothing. If he went to management, you were gone at lunch, and somebody whipped his ass again. That's how we dealt with dumb shit like that. But these new kids now, oh, they're butthurt. I'll go eat a goddamn iPod if you let them.
Oh, yeah. They
just don't get it. I mean,
ridiculous.
You know, we've given up so much. When I come in this unit in 76, we had so much stuff compared to what we do not have now. Brian, like Brian says, we ain't got shit back compared to what we got. But what they're doing now, I really believe, it's starting to make me think with all these transfers, there's no better way to transfer. When you transfer people, dates change. And I've seen people get 10 years seniority on a transfer, if you catch my drift. And then a couple of years later, that 10 years seniority is worth a lot of money. There's something going on there, Scott.
Well, what they've got is if they come to this plant and let's say they've got 40, 50 years seniority and they're just trying to walk it out, they knock them back to like 1986 or 2007. They lose all that seniority and they're not told that until they get here. So you
they
want to
can't
talk about
do that. They got to come in at 1785. That's part of the national agreement, is it not?
It used to be
January 7th of 1985. Everybody came to another plant that way. Unless you paragraphed 96 in. Yeah, if you paragraphed in with the 96 move, you got for seniority.
Yeah, that's in the national contract. You're right.
That's why I said they
know some of these guys are coming in losing a ton of years.
Yeah. Also,
okay.
Yeah.
Scott, look at your chat room. Go ahead, Peggy.
Yeah, also, you know, I can remember, you know, back in the old days, if the management or anybody tried to do something stupid, the union, the real union workers, they would take that supervisor and throw them in the dumpster, throw them outside and beat the pulp out of them. And what happened, I can tell you this, what I had to do, I had a supervisor in the material who tried to play smart with me. Well, after when my committee man left the office for a while, they want to put me on, discipline me for something I did not do. Only because I did not have the stock to put out on the line, they were going to discipline me. Well, anyway, I told the supervisor off. I gave him an earful. When my committee man came back, he was shocked to hear how I told the supervisor off. And then the rest of the guys, in the material, in the group material, I was in the JIT, area at that time. I was in the trim at that time. They asked me what I did, and those guys, they were shocked, how I put that supervisor in this place, because I stepped my foot down. And they told me if their supervisor did to any one of those workers, they would grab them. In the old days, they would grab the supervisor out and beat them, kick them in his rear end. That's what they would have done back in the old days. And, back in the old days, like the 60s, 70s, they were that tough. Those workers does not take no nonsense at all. And unlike today, it's a whole different story. They let things go. And I can remember, back in the 90s, back in the 80s and 90s, up through 2000, and a lot of these workers would grab up all the overtime that they could, because if we had not have a raise in years, they would they would do overtime every day, because the reason why no cost of living and no raises in the pay, that's why.
All right, Peggy.
So you have it.
Is there a Scott Shingledecker on the line? Is anybody on the line?
I'm on the line, Don.
I'm on the line.
Right, just got up and being quiet. And usually you two, all of you, will yak at the same time. And all of a sudden, nobody's talking.
I'm on the line. I'm listening. Yeah,
okay.
I'm being respectful listening.
Okay.
So what happens is, with the seniority with the move, if you come in, let's say a 96 move or a plant closer move, you'll bring your seniority with you. You can never better your seniority by a move, which means if you have less than 1785 seniority, you will never be able to get that 1785 seniority. Now, if you come in and you have 1986 seniority, let's say 1186 seniority, that's what you'll come with. Is 1186 seniority. There is still a lot of movement. Holes replaced, Fort Wayne, Flint. Somebody told me Romulus might take some of the people. And then there's the Cleveland facility to take Lordstown and the DM people who are going to be laid off, which we know that's going to be a long layoff. Spring Hill, there's a big article. We're going to 8:30, I guess, tonight. We're going to add on some time. Spring Hill, Mike Heron wrote a letter, and it almost runs parallel with what happened with you guys at Fort Wayne. Melissa, I don't know if you've seen that or not. They wanted to hire more temporaries, and what the what's their acronyms? The ARTS. What they're calling the ARTS sounds like a fart without the F. They are referred to as absentee replacement techs. So when you see this new acronym, ARTS, that's a new word for the temps.
ARTS. Okay.
Anyway, they had the break in the time. Anyway, down there, they asked for 454 temps, including renewal of the 154 temps that they currently have at Spring Hill. And he was saying that these people should have been made whole. And he said there was approximately 200 legacy employees, and I'm going to slap the next union person that refers to me as a legacy, I'm going to slap them. You talk about an insult and disrespectful word to a seniority worker to refer to me as a legacy. I don't cause anybody legacy. Anyway, to the seniority workers that were retiring, and what happens is that's going to leave that 200-person hole in their workforce. And what I guess what he's trying to say is he asked for them to be made permanent employees. And I don't know how that whole thing went out. He doesn't really say. All I know is, like with our CHOP chairman, they've had discussion with Vice President Terry Dides, whatever, office about this. And nobody's given us any answer from either Fort Wayne, Spring Hill, or Flint what the Vice President is going to do with this. So I'm sure they'll listen tomorrow morning. We would like some answers, Mr. Gamble, Ramble. We'll talk about him later, too. But you need to have your Vice President of General Motors Department there getting some language out here, what we're going to do with all these ARTS and attempts. So they're just trying to make it a little more confusing for all of us, but there's something out there. There's something going on, I guess, what I'm trying to say. There's something definitely going on. I mean, we know now what one of the vehicles that's going to be made at DHAM is going to be the all-new electric Hummer. I don't know if you've seen that yet. So I don't know. The all-new electric Hummer.
How can they use that name? I thought they sold that division.
I thought so, too. And I don't know if they are. Oh, what they're going to do is it's going to be sold under the GMC brand. So will it be a GMC Hummer? I don't know. That's what it is. It's going to be a Hummer, and it's going to be electric, and they're going to make it a DHAM. And they're going
to
send
Cindy
the big...
That's because Cindy said so, right?
What's that?
Cindy said so?
Is that the Cindy said so? I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they discontinued the Hummer brand in 2010, and if I remember right, that was sold to the Chinese. They said they're bringing the nameplate back under the GMC brand, and it's going to be made in DHAM, and they are going to spend some big money because they are going to buy a Super Bowl ad for this truck. You're going to spend money for a truck you haven't even built yet. Your facility
wow.
Isn't retooled for it yet. You talk about a stretch. You're talking at least, what, another 2 years out yet? They said 18 months to retool DHAM. Hey, it's 8 o'clock. Ding, ding.
I'm sorry.
Hey, no, that's good. Because I'll tell you what, I like the chimes on your clock, but I think the chimes on that brand new clock is probably setting down in retired Vice President Jimmy Settle's Florida home. Sounds a lot better than that one.
Yeah, I saw that.
That house was built in 2007 and originally sold for $740,000. Supposedly retired VP Jimmy Settles bought this in Davenport, Florida, a 4,000-square-foot home. If you want to see the pictures I posted on Workers, Workplaces, and Unions, he bought it for $462,500. And it's impeccable. It sets on, it's a five-bedroom, five-bath home near Orlando, and it sets on a pond, a private pond, and the third, and it overlooks the third hole of the Providence Golf Club.
Oh, and we never got invited over to this house?
No, nope. I'm with you, man. I mean, I'm sure all of us could easily sit. I'm looking at the back courtyard. It includes a screened-in courtyard with a saltwater pool and a spa and a lanai. I think we could all have a good time there and talking to Brother Jimmy Settles about Local 600 sitting there.
Heck yeah.
Some refreshments.
We showed up there with the Bucker Brigade, he might let us in.
Can you imagine the whole UAW showing up at his front doorstep?
That'd be funny.
That'd be a different shade of pale, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
just like all. They're going to clean up the house by Sunday. And I've got nothing against Gerald or anything else, but people, if you don't start from the scratch, you keep sending somebody that's already been feeding from the trough, you're going to end up with the same shit. Understand that.
Could very well be. I agree with you because it's those tentacles from that octopus stretch out a long way. And somebody, not just on this show, but somebody at my plant just this last week said if they got to clean this house, they need to clean it all the way down to the locals. So
you're right. The old man told me once, Scott, I remember him telling me, he says, When you're good at your plant and you get picked up by the international, it's one thing. But when you have an eye for the international and an office, he goes, that's when the rotten starts within that individual. And that is so true.
Yep. It's a sad thing, man. I'm telling you, it just, you know, we got brothers out on strike, brothers and sisters out on strike, different locations. Different unions. Seems like nobody can address these issues like they need to be addressed. And for the life of me, I can't understand why the union that I belong to would fight for these members and not accept a reason from management as to why they couldn't.
I would personally take a pay cut so someone could keep their job. Let me tell you that.
Well, if it was necessary, but it's not necessary. I listened, I heard somebody talk to me about health care and the high cost for health care. And this was an elected official. I turned around and looked at him and I says, yeah, well, gee, How much do you think the retiree health care cost us? And he looked at me with a question mark in his face. I said, you heard me. I said, we're paying for that, so the company don't have to. That cost us $62 billion.
I
said, so don't tell me you can't afford this. I said, you want me to pay for my health care? Fine. Give me my cost of living back. I'll gladly take that. And you can pay for the retiree's health care. And I'll pay for my own health care then. Well, of course, the dialect changes at that point, right? he don't understand what I'm saying. And I'll tell you, I agree with you. If we need to take a pay cut to help somebody keep a job, I agree. But if the corporation is making record profits and you figure that out with how much each employee is generating for net worth for the corporation, and if it's over $1 million, there's no reason for anybody to have a pay cut.
But job security is something that's not negotiating.
Well, that's where I said I can't figure out whoever these people are who are supposed to be negotiating are doing. I agree. I just call myself an uneducated dummy. I mean, I use the old man's equations, and I call it the Dungeon Ruler down there. You know, the Dungeon Ruler's got a bunch of contraptions tied to it. You know, is it a required system or is it an emergent system? Then you got to pull your glasses out. Which stage of glasses are you going to look through? Jimmy will tell you, he's heard this many times. Are you going to look through the blue-colored lenses, the rose-colored lenses, or the yellow lenses? Are you going to look through the clear lenses?
Yep.
There's a whole lot of things that you have to put in on this whole thing and to look at it. And when you put this on the Dungeon Ruler, it still doesn't make any sense. Somebody's cutting somebody really, really short. So there's a
right.
lot of money out there. A lot of money. I mean, General Motors is going to be putting how much money we don't know on a Super Bowl ad on a product they don't even have yet. Because they say they're going to try to compete with Tesla and Rivian and Ford.
Well,
this
that's
is almost
so
funny as when they spent all that money when they were going to take, was it Cadillac over to Europe? They spent a buttload of money on that for 2 years and then never did it, remember? Because they said they'd be in competition with themselves.
Yep.
Or was it Oldsmobile? Yep. They were going to take somebody over there and then they had to spend all the money to rescind it. It was the stupidest thing in the world.
Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Cadillac group, and then they said, okay, we're going to bring it back and we're going to make New York City the world headquarters for Cadillac.
That's right.
And they spent all that money, put all that money in renting that facility for the world headquarters for Cadillac, and it lasted about 4 years because where are they at now? Back in
yep.
Detroit.
Yes.
Speaking of wasting money, this will just stir a little bit of pot with all of you guys. Dennis Muhlenberg, he was the recently outed CEO of Boeing. He got to leave with a $62 million payout.
Yeah, that's not right.
It gets better. The substantial award he got was for being fired for poor handling of the fatal crashes in the aftermath for the 737 MAX. Well, then also on Friday, the same day that they announced this, on Friday, 2,800 employees of Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems lost their jobs because of that 737 MAX baloney. And Spirit said they had let the workers go because there was no work for them in light of Boeing suspending production of the 737 MAX while it's grounded. But they didn't get any large exit packages. And instead, they got 60 days pay. How you like
wow.
that?
Wow.
Now, I'm trying to think. The
yep.
union. Who is the union for them? Is that the it's different. I can't think. But you guys, I don't know. I'll find out who that is because I can't see it. I thought we were done with the days of golden parachutes. I mean, Don and Jim and Flumes are old enough to remember people were getting the golden parachutes. I thought that was done. Evidently, it's not, is it?
No, it's not done. And I'd like to welcome another country that listens to us, France. France is now listening. 1% of our audience come from France. So that's about the 15th country, I believe, listening to
wow.
us. Thank you. Yeah.
We thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Now, can I have a French fry? That's a joke. Get it? Get it? Come on. Jesus. People take everything
wow.
seriously.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never take you serious, Couch. Let's get that straight right now. I never take
Nobody
you
ever does. Nobody ever does. But if you would see me with my G-string on, look out.
Jesus Christ. Can I have a front row? I got the popcorn.
Well, I mow the grass when it gets springtime, 5 weeks to spring
Jimmy,
training.
He wears it backwards, though, honey.
Damn
that's
right.
That's it. I'm leaving. Serious. She already knew.
Last year, I got a sunburn. Took a while. Blistered up.
I did a little research, though. I wanted to say something, Don, if I may. On workers' comp cases out there, people, if you get hurt on the job, 95% of what I've seen so far, you've got to let the plant or the company or whoever they are treat you. That doesn't mean you can't go see your own doctor, but you're going to have to pay for that out of your pocket and
right.
just keep him advised of what the hell they're doing. In Michigan, you have to do that for 30 days. After 30 days, you can give them the middle flag, both flags, or even take your socks off and give them those flags too, and then let your doctor treat you. But you have to do that, because if you don't do that, then you let them off the hook for liability. Another thing you need to understand, if you get hurt at work, go right then and there. Don't tell a coworker, hey, it was 15 minutes to the end of the shift, you saw me hurt myself. And then when you come in the next day, you can't hardly move because they're going to come
right.
up with some fabrication that you were out bowling, jacking off, masturbating, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Report that accident right then and there. You do them things, you're going to save your ass a lot of problems in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy is completely right on that. Absolutely right.
You know, and I hate to say it. To understand, all we are to them is hands and eyes, and those are the two things they have not been able to really make a machine do yet completely. So they don't give a shit about the human factor. Get that out of your head. You should understand that right there and now, because of the way they're doing with the tiers of discrimination, trying to get, what do they call us, legacy workers or whatever you want to call me, old mother sucker, if you want to say it. I would be better off that than call me a legacy worker. I agree with Scott Shingledecker. There should be no division between any of us. I don't care if you got 50 years seniority or 91 days. And subject.
Yep. Amen on that.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for that information today, Jimmy. I appreciated that.
Ain't no problem, baby. Like I said, you got the digits. If you need, just understand the hours of my operation. You know, they're pretty limited now that I'm 61.
Right, right.
Make sure you find a good workman's comp attorney.
Okay.
Keep his number in your phone book.
Okay.
Do not get the attorney. Listen to me. I'm glad somebody mentioned that. At your locals, you're going to have attorneys coming in there and sitting in your local probably 1-2 days a week. In most cases, those guys are bringing in a fifth of whiskey, giving it to somebody there to sit there. They're nothing better than an ambulance chaser. Get a good attorney. It'll be worth a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm still trying to find out which union that there was. It's a machinist union. I know that. At Boeing, and that was the same union that after our 2011 agreement, if you remember right, they basically got them to cap out their pension fund and give up COLA for a $15,000 bonus. That was the same union. That local president out there came out and he told them, no, it's a bad idea, don't do this. And they blackballed him. And afterwards, people were trying to come back in and get off money of that agreement, it was too late. It's a done deal. And this is the same union we're dealing with right here. So it's a machinist union. That's all I can tell you. I tried. So that's with the Boeing deal. It's bad. It really is. The temporaries, real quick, you know, before the show comes over, I got this idea, and I could be wrong, and you guys have to think about it. See what you think. Thank you. Thank you. She's listening. The IAM, and National Associated Machinists, I believe that's what it stands for. That was the union for the Boeing, for the machinists out west and for Boeing. But to get back to the temporaries, I think what we're going to do is it would probably work at your plant, Melissa, my plant. This is just speculation. This is just opinion, folks. But I think it would work at Fort Wayne. Flint Assembly could probably work at Arlington, too, is to cut back on this overtime expense. This is just a theory. What if I worked the temporaries, or the arts, as we want to call them now, if we worked them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I could use them on Friday and Monday to help with my weekend time off. The seniority employees would have their weekend off, and I could run the plant Saturday, Sunday with a lower cost employee. You think about that?
Yeah.
It's an option.
You touched on something earlier. You didn't call it what it used to be called back in my day, but like modular assembly. They did that over in Lansing, remember? They'd come in and build, like, say, doors, put them all together. Then they'd slap them. Our people would slap them on the door with the panels all in. All they had to do was put the bolts on in the interior panel. And they did that right inside that shop, so. As far as them leasing part, it wouldn't surprise me if they leased part of Flint Metal Fab over to somebody like that and did it for the simple reason because of that damn tunnel that goes from my plant to your plant. That would be so perfect for it. And I'm sad to say, but for what they got left in my plant, hell, there ain't nobody there. You guys have already taken one parking lot. The whole west side's all, you took our whole parking lot over there. Our east parking lot, two-thirds of that's been ate up by the VA, the engine plant, and now the engine plant has totally taken over the whole barn now, so they took our whole barn. You know, hell, that was a quarter of a mile by a quarter of a mile building in there. They've taken all that, so really shrinking. I asked what the active workforce is, and I'm told it's right around 1,500 all told. But right now they're on some type of cutback, so they're down around 1,200. But MVAN's supposed to phase out at the end of this year, which is going to eliminate another 300. So if you do that math, and if they keep three shifts, they're going to have maybe about 200 people per shift, if I'm doing my numbers right. And my crystal ball is very foggy here, folks.
Oh, wait a minute. You just brought something else up. If plants go down, retool, or they get new product and they need more people, if they don't want to hire temps locally under the contract, cannot they force the temporaries to go to another local, to another plant?
Yes, they can.
Yeah.
And that is part of that disappearing ink we talked about, remember, because they said that part of that was going to be rewritten, and I don't know what the hell they did. It's going to be written in 90 days, wasn't it?
Yeah. 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 Well, now we know why they need 90 days to rewrite that, don't we?
was already written then. They just didn't want us to see.
Right. Yeah. It's, I don't know. Dude, I just got a really bad feeling about this whole thing with the Thames. I've had a bad feeling. We've all had a bad feeling. We all spoke out against it. Brian, Don, you, me, everybody, even the ones that had their head on straight at Ford, even they said it was a bad idea. You know, multiple ideas, it was a bad idea. If nothing else, for the temporary language, it was a really bad idea. Besides the gains we never got back for going on strike at General Motors, and I'm just thinking that there is so much more hideousness hidden behind all this language that's going to happen to these temps between now and the next 6 months. I think there's a lot of stuff going to hit the fan, and I don't think nobody's going to like it. That's just my opinion. But I think there's a lot of bad stuff coming, and I think these temps are going to be misused and abused like you wouldn't believe. That's just my opinion.
I agree. I think they're going to be the sacrificial lamb. They're going to be the ones thrown on the fire.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see, because with these LOCs coming in, I'm sure Fort Wayne's going to have one too, right? You know?
I have no idea, Scott.
A sub-assembly. Because you've got suppliers down there by you, right? Somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure that they're going to try to move them in so that they can get that even cheaper, cut off that logistics.
They do sub-assembly literally across the street. Within the last 2 years, there have been two huge warehouse pole buildings put together, and they've been doing sub-assembly, like wire harnesses and some of the brake stuff and some of the wheels and things. They've been putting those together across the road for over a year, year and a half now.
Wow.
The reason I know what some of the stuff they were doing is because my son took a job over there. And so the best part is they are amalgamated unions to our local.
Right.
So isn't that a kick in the head? Those are the jobs that were in this plant. So then our local has amalgamated those unions or those guys into our local.
Now, they're going to change them somehow. Then they'll figure a way to incorporate it and be part of the GM building. And they'll call them a GM sub-assembly holdings LLC. And they'll do something, because then that way they can run them as temp service, basically, and get them as cheap labor. Like with us, we're going to end up having to supply the material part of it for now. We're not going to be doing none of the building, so to say, or the assembly, or the sequencing that'll be done by them. But I'll be the material drivers that'll move the stock around. I was told that our chairman bought that and was managed to keep that in. But I look at Lake Orion and Lordstown and what Cindy Estrada did with them. That's what I see coming to Flint. And our chairman, I believe, is trying to fight it, but I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know. So.
Well, I can remember it was only a year before Lordstown got shut down at Lordstown. You know, not so long after the Lake Orion implemented the outside source, you know, it was actually GM and the union greaser that named that material outside material handling company the GM System LLC. And And I also, I got a feeling, you know, things are not going to go too well for these tariffs. The reason why I said it's not going to go very well at all because the temps still don't have a say on their job, and the contract does not protect nobody whatsoever. So, you know, they're going to continue to screw around, you know, with the workers, especially the temps.
I agree. Temps are gonna be used and abused.
Yes, they
and
are.
Give me your back on.
We have to wait to see. We have to wait to see what happens. Starting tonight, this week, I guess starting this week, we'll see if all of our GM facilities are adhering to the contractual language of 32 hours on the temps and how that's gonna affect their output. I don't think it'll last very long. That's my opinion, but they had to cancel production today at Flint Assembly. It was a voluntary Sunday. Late last night, they put out on the GM hotline that they were canceling production due to inclement weather. And I don't know. We'll see if we go back to emergency status.
See, I think what they're doing, they're trying to do these things to prevent the workers from organizing together. That's another thing why they're doing, like this emergency, so-called emergency situation after the strike end. You know, they put that in so the workers cannot pull out their plans. You know, that's the only reason why they go with emergency status when they got a lot full of cars and trucks out there.
All right. That could be, by the way. Well,
I don't know.
I'm interested to see if they hold to the language. I was afraid when I read that language that they were going to do just what you more or less keyed on, make 16 of those 32 hours Saturday and Sunday, make the other 16 hours Friday and Monday, or 1 week Friday, 1 week Monday. That would really, like you said, the only way to stop this game, people, is we got to go back to overtime after 8 hours. If you do that, we could get overtime after 8 hours and one member, one vote, we'd have a great damn union to start building up to get back some of the things we lost. Until you get rid of this bullshit of no overtime until 40 hours, why do you think they're limiting people at 32? They're going to bend the rules even more. Remember, we're playing in their world.
Right. We're not playing there, excuse me.
We're living their world.
Right. It's like Brian said, if we go under conservatorship of the federal government, clean out our union, they said in the article that it would be to restore the union back to a one member, one vote. Even the federal government knows that.
Yep. It's getting about that time, fellas. About that time.
It's sad that we got to use our federal government to give us back what we should have never allowed to happen.
That is true.
We've done it, and we've allowed them to start a goddamn business and make billions of dollars, place kids and friends all over this country in positions they never would. And then you tell me about this asshole that they're going to put over Region 1D. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, he's as bad as Deuce Grand Brines. I mean, he's hung with Grimes. Him and Grimes were friends. Best of friends.
Right. I have to cut you short, but we got about 30 seconds left.
Dear penis, I don't think I like you anymore.
Well, it's another week.
Dear penis.
You used to watch me shave. Now all you do is stare at the floor. Oh, dear penis, I don't like you anymore. You
We'll be back next Sunday night, 7 p.m. next Sunday night. UAW Factory with the show.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Peggy.
Yes, we will be.
Good night, Adrian.
Good night, Adrian. God bless you.
Good night, John, boy.
Good night,
Brian.
Good
night, Jim.
Good
night, Don.
Good night,
Peggy. I didn't hear you.
Every Sunday.
When you get to drinking, you put me like I've never been before, dear Rodney. I don't like you anymore. Why can't we just get a grip on our man-to-hand relationship? Come to terms with truly how we feel. If we put our heads together, we'd just stay home forever, dear Venus. I think I like you after all. Oh, and Rodney, while you're shaving, shave my balls.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week and be safe. God bless all
you
of
too.
You.
You too.
And I love
have
all of
night.
You. Good night, guys.
Love you too.
All right, sweeties. And I want to hear that clock next week.
I'll be out of town, maybe, so I probably won't be able to get in.
Where are you going, dear?
Southern Illinois to meet Bob.
Where'd you go? What the hell is that? It's my phone talking to me. I go where you go. Jesus. Everything in my house is blowing up. All right. Well, you and Bob have a good time. Call us with a progress report, if you know what I mean.
I will do that.
Point. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Oh, Scott's still being on. I can't talk like that when Scott's around. He gets mad at me.
I don't like it.
I talk to you all soon. Good night, everybody.
Okay. All right, be good.
Night.